The message I have today, in light of what we've heard, is to look at how we are to articulate what God is in fact speaking to us. And I'm calling this the word in action. How do we behave ourselves once God has spoken? When God speaks, he's not just speaking words into the air, but he's speaking words, he's speaking life into us. And the life that God is speaking into us is to bring us to a new place. I want to begin here in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Let's look at this, Romans chapter 9, verse 6. It says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Let's look at that for a moment. Let's begin to focus in and zero in on what Paul was speaking of. When he said that the word, first of all, the objective of the word was to affect us. It was to impact our lives. He says, but it's not that the word has taken no effect, but it spoke of the people. They are not all of Israel, all Israel who are of Israel. The message puts it this way. Don't suppose for a moment, though, that God's word has malfunctioned in some way or another. Don't ever think that God's word has malfunctioned, that God is impotent, that his word spoken doesn't have the power to accomplish that which God intended for it to accomplish. I want you to know God is ready, and he's getting us ready. That's why he's dealing with these areas of obedience and making sure that we are at a place where we are looking at things that we might have considered to be small in the past, but now we're coming to the place of realizing how significant these things really are in light of that which God is wanting to do among us. He says, but the problem goes back a long way. From the outset, not all Israelites of the flesh were Israelites of the Spirit. Now, I'm starting with that because I believe that this is a rebuke to those that did not act upon it, but it's going to get better as we continue with this message. But I want to begin here. As we begin to look at, even within the church, it will say, not that God is not working within the church, not that God is not able to accomplish what he desired to accomplish through his people. Because God's objective is to have a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish, any such thing. And let me tell you something. God is doing something in this house. God is doing something in this place that's going to be astounding. Don't just look at the past, at what God did in the past, but let's look at what God is yet doing in our present time and what God is preparing us far as we move into our future. Because everything that we've heard, everything that's happening has meaning. God is getting us ready for something that's greater than we could possibly ever imagine. But then it says that the problem is that not from the outset, not all Israelites of the flesh were Israelites of the Spirit. It's not just based upon the fact that they were born in a particular place, that they are a particular way. It is saying, when we begin to look at Israelites, we understand in our day we have black Israelites and we have this movement that's taking place where there are many that are identifying with Israel and their, the Hebrews and the like. And they didn't consider the fact that Abraham, before he moved into faith, was in an environment whereby the people were heathens. He was born in a heathenistic culture. So as a result of it, it wasn't just where he was born that made a difference. The Bible said that he had to leave his country. He had to leave his father's house. He had to leave that environment. And God was taking him to a place that he would eventually show him. Because it wasn't. And then some will say that because I was born here, therefore this is who I am and where I am. But that's what he was really saying. Even to take it even closer, not everybody in the church have the Spirit of Christ. But God is saying that the problem goes a long way from the outset. But now we begin to look at the positive here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. This is what he says concerning those that are born again, those that are walking in faith, those that are consistent in their walk. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." Then it goes into some other persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Let's stop there for a moment. And let's look at those we saw the first. Not all that are of Israel, were of Israel. Not all Israel are of Israel. But then it says, but here you have followed my doctrine, manner of life. What is it really saying here? It is saying that there's a people that paid attention to what God was saying. They followed, fully followed the doctrine, the doctrines, manner of life, the demonstration or the example that was displayed. Then it says, and this is a very important word, purpose, intent. What was the intent? What is our intent? Faith, trusting God, long-suffering, love, perseverance, and all of these things. And here's the other part. When we look at all of the things that they followed, all the things that they paid attention to, the things that they did not ignore, the experiences that they took to heart and realized that God was speaking through those experiences and through the examples that were laid before them. Then he says, what persecutions I endured. I endured. He says, so it is saying that because you are of Christ does not exempt you from those things happening to you. But it is said, but when these things happened, you did not opt out because they were happening. He said, but you endured. You stuck with it. You stayed true to what God had laid before us. Whatever the circumstances, whatever you went through, you remained faithful. Let me tell you something, church. Many of you have gone through some challenges in your lives. Many of you, the enemy, particularly now, because we are closer than we've ever been before to victory. And I begin to see the enemy raise his ugly head and he began to attack bodies. He began to attack minds. He began to attack people in areas of their lives. Things that hadn't happened before are happening in the lives of many people within this congregation here. Let me tell you something. It is not because you didn't have faith. It is because the fact that you have faith and the devil know that his time is short. But then it says, but you, listen to me now, you endured. You didn't cave in. Your faith grew stronger. Even while you were under attack. Let me tell you something. We're going to start seeing victory in this house. We're going to start seeing victories. We're going to start seeing, you see, do you remember the prophecy some years ago? We said this will be a cancer-free zone. Did you hear the message last week? It says, none of his words are to fall to the ground. We cannot allow the word of God to fall to the ground because the enemy is a contradictor. His objective is to contradict everything that God has spoken. But then we must stand and withstand the attacks of the enemy, because when we endure, the other side of that endurance is victory. So look what he says here. You endured persecutions. And then it says, and out of them all, oh, listen, the Lord delivered me. Out of everything that you went through, everything that you're going through, you experienced deliverance. And we are celebrating Independence Day. And it was a freedom that you had never experienced before. Because then you came to a place of realizing that the devil's shot is best shot. So therefore, this whole thing of fear has been done away with. The Lord does not speak a word without a purpose. The word does not speak a word without a purpose. Don't just hear the word, but ask God to show you his purpose for the word. Everything that God is saying, he has a purpose. There's a reason for God saying what he is saying. It's based upon what he sees and expresses his desire towards us to do us good. He is saying, I'm saying this because ultimately I want to do you good. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it's a very familiar scripture. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. They didn't get anything out of it. Have you heard people say, I didn't get anything out of it. I don't see this thing working, therefore I'll dismiss it all. It didn't profit them. Why? Because not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. So what God is doing through the challenges, through the tests, he's building up your faith. And understand, the faith that you have in God is increasing. And let me tell you something, that faith believing for your situation is not just for you, but it's to shift the atmosphere. It is to change the atmosphere so that now this house will become a house that's filled with faith. So when people come in here, it won't take as long to get the results that we're believing God for. Why? Because through all of these, God has delivered you, and now you have become his instrument of deliverance. His instrument of deliverance. God is going to use you as his instrument of deliverance. And let me tell you something. I'm trusting that even this day, and we've heard some things, and we're not going to let it fall. I'm trusting this day we're going to start seeing this manifest even before our very eyes. There's a release that's taking place. We talk about freedom. You're being released into your destiny. God is releasing you into your destiny. You heard that already. We're being released, because it is saying that all the while, this is God's intent. This is what God's purpose is for your life. You begin to see where he says, you followed my purpose. You carefully followed doctrine, but you also looked at the purpose and intent. God's intent and purpose is that for release, freedom, whatever bondage you might have been succumbed to, he's here to release you from that. So he releases you not just to be set free for the sake of freedom, but you're set free in order to fulfill your purpose, to walk into your destiny There's something that God is looking at, something that God sees that you hadn't even seen as of yet. You see, God is looking at your future. He's looking all the way down the line as to what his intention is for your life. And he's releasing you into your destiny. And then the word spoken, the grace to function according to what was spoken. When the word is spoken, the grace is released. You see, before you walk into it, you're released, but he releases his word. There's a word that's spoken to prepare you to walk into this particular thing. This is a scripture that I've used many times here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11. Where this is what it says here, Jeremiah 1:11, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see? Now, what is he really saying? What are you looking at? What is your perspective? How do you view a particular thing? What do you see? You see, do you see the attack? Do you see the challenge? Do you see? What do you see? What is your primary focus right here and right now? What do you see? What is occupying your mind, your attention? What is at this place where when you begin to, in fact, I had to do some deep introspection myself, because I began to look at certain things that were happening, and I began to, was happening to me and happening around me and the like, and I began to say, well, Lord, this is happening, that's happening, why are these things happening? And then the Lord says, let me give you a different perspective. I want you to begin to think of it this way, that God is a God of deliverance. Whatever comes our way, God is taking us through those particular things. I want you to see the victory. I want you to see the house filled. I want you to see the 1,000 souls that we're believing God for. Don't just say that it's going to happen. I want you to get a picture of even in this house now, we begin to see these things occurring. We must see those things developing among us. Thank you. So he asked Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. He is saying, in essence, Jeremiah, what has happened, your sight now has aligned with what I see. We're seeing the same thing. Beforehand, this is what you saw, therefore you acted upon what you saw. But what do you see now? When God speaks to us, what do you see now? Do you see what God is saying? Do you see what God is speaking as being real? And then he says, you see well, for I am ready now to perform my word. Until I got you to the place of seeing with me what I see, then the word preached would be of no effect. The word given to you would not profit you. It would be of no effect until we get everybody on the same page whereby we are seeing together. That's what God is wanting to do. So what happens? I know you came here with your perspective, and another person has a perspective, that person has a perspective. But as we hear the word of God, the Bible says, without a vision, the people cast off restraints. Without a prophetic word, without prophetic insight, the people go in their own directions. But what happens when the vision is cast, it harnesses all of our energies so that we're moving in the same direction. That's what God is doing right now. He's bringing us to a place where now he can move us in the same direction. You talk about some power. You talk about things happening is when that happens. So then he says, now I am ready. Now I am ready. Wait a minute. Are you saying, God was saying in essence, I wasn't ready until you saw. When did God get ready? He got ready when we start seeing the same thing that he sees. You see, so what happens even when we are in here? You say, well, I don't see that. You heard the word of God. In all thy getting, get understanding. If you don't see it, it doesn't mean that it's not true because you don't see it. It doesn't mean it's not true because we see in part. We know in part. We prophesy in part. There are things that we see. We see fragments of truth. But what God is saying, that's why we can't ever think that we have arrested all that God, or we have gotten to a place that we've arrived at this place where we've absorbed all that God has to show us. But there are aspects of that that God is yet making known to us. He says, but the Bible also says, if you continue my word, continue in my word. We mentioned follow fully the example. Continue my word. It says, you are my disciples indeed. Now we go back to Israel. They were not all disciples. They were not all Israelites. You see, because what happens, the proof of it is that they became disciples indeed. They continued in the word. He says, and as a result of continuing in the word, he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, make you free. So as a result of continuance, the true freedom comes as a result of continuing in that which God has, in fact, spoken. So we talk about perspective. What God is doing, he has an eternal perspective. We saw things from the perspective of time, but God sees all things from the perspective of eternity. When his eternal perspective becomes our perspective, then we are permitted to participate in something that's greater than we are, greater than ourselves. See, God will bring us in a place where now I'm going to show you something that's greater than you are, or greater than all the people that you may be acquainted with. Because if you see people, you miss it. If you just see yourself, you miss it. But God is saying, I'm bringing you to a place where you see what I see, and you see things from an eternal perspective. That's a whole thing on understanding from time to eternity, how time-based and creatures can restrict God and limit God because they set time limits as to when God ought to accomplish a particular thing. And if it doesn't happen within the time limits that they've set, then they begin to dismiss it as not being God. But here's what God is saying. I'm going to show you from my perspective what I am in fact saying. And here's what he does here. He will take ordinary people with ordinary lives and show us extraordinary things. He doesn't take, you would say, well, it looked like somebody would see this that would be more, that have a greater, have a more refined pedigree. It looked like they would, someone else would be able to see this. But God will begin to take ordinary people with ordinary lives and show you extraordinary things. He transformed into living a prophetic life. Your life is transformed, living a prophetic life. Fit into God's divine plan, fulfilling that portion spoken of beforehand. When we talk about living a prophetic life, it is saying that all the while, when I show you this, now I'm going to show you where you fit into my divine plan. I'm going to show you something that I had already predetermined. But I'm going to show you where you fit in that plan. This is your part. This is what I was developing you for so that you fit perfectly into my divine plan. So God already had in mind as to what he wanted to do. But then he refines us. And that's what's happening in your life right now so that you fit perfectly in his divine plan. Because he has spoken, the ordinary individual was being empowered to do great exploits for him in his name. Now, we talk about what God sees. Let me just put it this way. God sees, he's able to see you. God is looking at you. He has full knowledge of where you are, who you are, what you're going through, all that's happening in your life. I begin to look at Nathanael here in John chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit." Now, he didn't say a Jacobite, did he? He didn't speak of him as being after Jacob. He said, but an Israelite indeed. When he talks about an Israelite indeed, from the lineage of the transformed Jacob to Israel, he was saying, in essence, that I see that you're not just one who carried the title, but you are an Israelite indeed. Not all who are Israel are of Israel, Israelites. He said, but you are an Israelite indeed. If you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, now I see one that fully represents Israel. One who is an Israelite indeed. And the reason that, and I can also see into his life that which qualifies him, because he has no guile. He has no guile. There's nothing in his heart. There's nothing standing between him and God. Now, if you go before that, you'll begin to see what Nathanael saw. In the 45th verse, look at what Nathanael saw. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So what he did, he heard the testimony. He heard the word. We found him. So now we're going to bring you to the one that we found. He says, so we found him. So Philip found Nathanael. And when he found Nathanael, he's bringing Nathanael after finding him to the one that he's discovered, the one he has found. He said, this is the one that we found of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. This is Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, the son of Joseph. So what did he do? And Nathanael said to him, when he said that, as he was bringing it, he said, now, what I'm going to look at, where did he come from? You said he's the son of Joseph. Joseph came from Nazareth. Nazareth is a rough place. It's a place where people don't behave themselves rightly. He says, so now watch what he's saying here. He is saying, as a result of what he saw, he didn't see Jesus yet, but he had a perspective of who Jesus was. Are you still with me now? His perception of Christ was as such, based upon his pedigree, based upon where he came from or was born. Not born, raised. He was born in Bethlehem, but raised in Nazareth. He said, now the question is, can any good thing come out of a place like that? Can any good thing come out of a place like that? So watch his perspective. His perspective is based upon a generality, a generalized thinking. He said, all the people that I've ever known that came out of Nazareth were corrupted. And you told me you found him. That you found the one. This is the one that was prophesied concerning. You tell me that this is the one that we're to look forward to, or Moses and the prophet spoke of. That now the word has been personified in a person that came from a place that's corrupt. That's what he was in fact saying. So then he said, based upon his perspective of the place and based upon a generality spoken based upon what he has seen coming from that place, he said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of a place like that? So now he said, after he said that, Philip didn't just buy it. He said, come and see. He said, he's really saying, now watch what he said. When he said, come and see, he is saying, I want you to leave your perspective behind. I want you to park all of your presuppositions that believe that it would require a particular place, or there are places that's off limits to God. He says, so park all of that. He says, I want you to come and see. This is what we're going to be saying now. The people are saying, can any good thing come from this place? Can any good thing come from your life? Can any good thing come out of the things that have happened to you, or the place that you came from on the other side of the tracks? Is it possible that God can use a person like you, a people like you? After a while, after all, look at your culture. Look at your pedigree. Can any good thing come out of you? Can any good thing come out of people like you? And look at, and the problem is that many people agree with the perception that other people have of them. They said, since you don't believe that any good thing can come out of me, therefore I don't believe any good thing can ever come out of me. But I'm not going to become a slave to your opinion. You're not to become a slave to anyone's perception of you. But I'm saying to you, Cross Culture Church, come and see. Come and see. Where God is taking us, he's going to prove the fact that he will take people from places that others would ignore. And his vision that he gave us, because we mentioned God would not speak a thing unless he had a purpose. God would not give a vision unless he had intent on seeing to it that that vision be fulfilled. So when we talk about even some things that's happening in our day and time, because now I praise God for one race, and now we're seeing, and I'm so glad that it's not just black people that's saying that these injustices had occurred, but now there are people of other cultures that's agreeing that these injustices have taken place. But let me tell you something. God gave us that vision in 1980 when we started FMAC, when we started bringing pastors together to pray together. You see, but we begin to see now where these things are developing. But here's what I want you to know. But God did not forsake us or forget us in the process of these things being developed, because it is really a vision that God gave us many years ago, but we are seeing it come into fruition in our day and time. But don't ever think that you're going to be exempt or left out of the process. That's why these things are happening the way they're happening. That's why the power of God is manifesting as it's manifesting. That's why God is getting us ready. That's why the attacks are as the attacks are taking place. Because what God is about to do now, God is about to cause the vision that he gave us way back then to speak for itself. And wherever you came in, whether it was last week, last month, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you inherit the vision of the house. Why? Because if you are of Cross Culture Church, if you're of this ministry, then everything that God has spoken includes you, and you are being fashioned to fit in fulfilling his purpose. You follow? It doesn't make us any better than anybody else, but the vision is greater than we are. And God is determined to fulfill his purposes and intents. So now, let's look at what he is saying here. He said, come and see, come and see. I want you to see. Now when he says come and see, he is saying, I'm bringing you to a place where you're about to have a divine encounter. You're about to have a divine encounter. When he says, come and see, the picture is worth 1,000 words. When we see it, You see, when it speaks for itself, when we see it, you don't have to explain it any further. When God manifests what he is about to manifest, then there's no reason to continue to use words. Oh, what are we talking about here? God's getting ready to do something here. You see, this church was birthed in power. Don't ever think that this is something new to us. You see, this church was birthed in power and signs and wonders and miracles because God was giving us a precursor of what he is about and what he is determined yet to do. But God has to fit us in. People would ask the question, why didn't you continue in that? I said, because the word of God is to perfect us. The word of God is to bring us to a place where now our lives are being fashioned and formed because we want our character to be on the same level of our gifts. So character building does not come merely through the signs and wonders. Character building comes as a result of hearing the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word by the word of God. So God is saying, I brought you to a place now where I'll give you a message. And the message will not be surface. The message will not be a feel-good message. It will not be a mamby-pamby message, a mamby-pamby word. It will be a word that will challenge every fiber of your being. It will be at a place, if you're hearing right now, because you see, disciples will hear. Those that can hear the word will realize that they're hearing something that resonates deep within their hearts. It reverberates. Their hearts now, the frequency is the same. That's within their hearts. So here's what he said. He said, come and see. Come and see. Now watch what happened. When he came, as he began to get close to Jesus, he hadn't gotten there yet. Here, Nathanael, as he began to get close to him, Nathanael answered, if we go down, we begin to see, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then Philip said, come and see. Now, if you go to the 49th verse, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. But let's look at what he said before that. Here in John 1, 47, he says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? How do you know me? How do you know me? Now listen to what happened beforehand. Beforehand, Nathanael had a perception of Jesus based upon the place from which he was born. Now Jesus didn't bring a perception. Jesus brought prophetic insight. Jesus was able to see into the character of Nathanael. And he says, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no deceit. He said, even your perception, even though you have a wrong perception of who I am, but you're not a phony. You're the real deal. So there's a whole lot of people that got the wrong perceptions and they're the real deal. All they need is the right information. They need the right revelation. They need the right insight. They need to receive a divine encounter by God and it will shift them to a whole new place. So he says to him, he says, how do you know me? Many of you are asking the same question. How do you know me? God is calling you out. God is calling you out. There are things that God is speaking, and it has your address on it. It has your information in it. Jesus answered and said to him, he said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Out of all the people that were under the fig tree, out of all, you see, there's a mass number of people gathered together under the fig tree. But watch the Lord's focus. Look at Jesus' focus. Jesus was focusing his attention upon one man. He said, do you see the multitude? Do you see the masses? He said, no, I see in the midst of the masses, Nathanael. That's how the Lord selects us. He said, you're not just a part of the crowd. But the Lord says, I see you. When he says, I see you, he is really saying, because his word was, how do you know me? And he says, I saw you. I know you. I know every detail about you. I know how you, I know how you think. I know how you behave. I know your secrets of your life. I know every, and in spite of all that, I see you. I see. How do they do it? I see you. I'm looking at you. I'm examining. I've already examined you. I know everything about you. So now, with this, Nathanael, this is what Nathanael answered and said in the 49th verse. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Why are you Son of God? For you to know me without anybody having to tell you anything about me, you must be who they say that you are. You are the Son of God. Not only are you the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. An Israelite indeed recognizing his king. When he says, you are the King of Israel. In other words, right now, I recognize you to be my king. So Jesus answered and said to him, did you do this because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree? Do you believe? In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, as a result of that acknowledgement, you will see greater things than these. I'm going to show you more than this. Listen to this now. If you see this, how do you see? What do you see? You see well. Now I'm going to show you more than what you see. But I couldn't show you more than what you see until I get you to see what I'm seeing. Once I get you on my page, now your position, now other things are going to become clearer to you. Other things. You see, I will bring you into focus. Because what happens, I love when I take the eye test, what they do, they say, is it A or is it B? I said, I think it's B because B is stronger than A. He said, okay, is it B or is it C? I think it's C. You're getting closer, but this thing is still fuzzy. But make out some letters now. A, B on the top. I see the top line. He said, no, read some of the bottom line. I don't see the bottom line yet. Okay, let's go again. C or is it D? Is it one or two? Okay, I see something now. I get to the second line. Then he keeps on adjusting, until finally you're reading the fine print on the last line. And then he takes it off and he says, I know what prescription to write out for you, because now I can bring you to the place of seeing well, giving you 20/20 vision. So here's what happens in all of this. He began to say, he said, now that you see that I am the Christ, the King of Israel, the Son of the living God, you see well. Now I'm going to show you some stuff. I'm going to give you a newspaper. I'm going to give you a book. I'm going to have you to read life from a different perspective. When you see things around you, you're going to see them differently. They're going to have more, they're going to be vivid. You're going to get a vivid picture of reality. Not what others have seen, because they're still straining to read the large print. But you see things, you can read even the small print now. Why? Because I brought you to a place of seeing well. Now, as we look at this, see, he gives us, let's look at some other scripture, because I want you to see how God deals with this. He says, you ain't seen nothing. You're going to see, most of you will see, I'll say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You're going to see some angels. You're going to see into the spirit realm. Oh, my God. I'm going to give you the ability to see it. We need that, don't we? Because there are things happening in the spirit realm that the world is not privy to. But you'll begin to see what's behind the activities that's taking place all around you. That's what God is wanting to do. I'm going to show you behind that. You see, if you just see the activity, you're missing out on something. But let's look at what's behind that. Why do people act? And this day, you heard it this week, that we begin to see failures, fallings, and we begin to see a falling away within the church. And the thing that is most, I would say, disheartening is that we begin to see ministries and people who profess to be Christians embracing and endorsing activities that are totally against God and His plans. You see, lives that are contradicting the truth and all of that, but at the same time, they are viewed as people of God. But he says, so he said to Jeremiah, again, Jeremiah 1:3, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, before you've been born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. When he says, what I did before you were born, I had placed a word in your heart in relation to things that's happening in your generation, will be happening in your generation. The answer to the challenges that you will be facing is already in your heart. Can you imagine that now? He says, so what happens? You're not having to seek an answer. All you do is seek me. And you have to, and then you begin to look that the answer is already inside of you. The answer is already deeply embedded on the inside. And all it needs is to be released. All it needs to be released. God will say, in essence, he says, I will bring you to place. You're a prophet to the nations. And not only are you a prophet to your people, you're a prophet to all the nations. And when you speak, that word will reverberate through time. And through history, and people will see things that they otherwise would not see. Now, I want to get this part before we close. I want you to look at what had happened contained within the simple things of life, contained within simplicity. He gives us perspective that that will cause you to appreciate what you once took for granted. He will give you perspective, things that you would stumble over, you would think nothing of. But now when God will allow you to see it, you don't stumble over stuff, but you pay attention to details. There are things that you would otherwise miss. I put it this way, as I was meditating, I saw this. Can you imagine what it'd be like to take a walk with God down a nature trail? Can you imagine that? God taking you a walk down a nature trail. Or just take you through the park, a walk in the park with God, and have him explain to you what he sees through his own eyes. While you're walking, you see, God is walking with you. The Lord is walking with you, and he's explaining to you what he sees through his eyes. There are so many things we mentioned we just stumble over without giving it any thought. And usually a brief walk would only take, we could walk through in no time. But now we're walking with the Lord, and you're walking through this trail, and it's taken all day to just do a half a mile. It takes all day. And the thing is, you will begin to say, even as they were on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way? I want you to see that, walking with the Lord, and the Lord showing you what he sees in simple things. So what happens as we're walking? You see, we're involved in speed walking, getting there hurriedly, and you see, things, that it, but the, it's important, it is important to know that the journey is as important as the destination. Because God is saying there are things in life I want to point out to you that you would have missed if I had not pointed them out to you. What do you see? You see sickness. I see healing. You see defeat. I see victory. So the Lord is taking us We see general categories of his creation, but then the Lord will begin to talk about specific functions contained within each species. He said, you see a grasshopper. The Lord said, stop. Let me tell you something about that grasshopper. You begin to see a rock. The Lord said, let me tell you something about that rock. That rock has a history. And we could just stay here and we could spend all day at one thing and not be bored. Why? Because you're walking with the Lord. Things that you would, this is going to make sense after a while. Things that you would have otherwise ignored. But as you're walking with him, he's helping you to see into things that you otherwise would not be able to see. So why? Because he made those things. He made those things. And he will begin to tell you what he had in mind. This is what, this is why I made this particular way. This is what my intentions were in making it. And this is the proper use of it. You see, so all science, all biology, all everything is made known to us when we're walking with the Lord. And you say, where did all this knowledge? It is too wonderful for me. Because there's so much knowledge in small things. Things that appear to be insignificant. Just like we're gathered here today, God has something in mind. And understand, he has taken into account everything that you've experienced in your life. Everything that your family line had experienced in their lives. The Lord has taken all that and converged it into a moment. And he says, right now, I want to talk to you. What are we going to talk about? Let's talk about the news. No. The news is just current events. It's what's happening at the moment. But there are things that I want to speak to you about. That's not just about the moment. But I want to talk about the things that led to the moment. But not only the things that led to the moment, the things that must take place after this. What kind of conversation would this be? Isn't that a powerful thing to think of? That's the kind of conversation when the Lord says, I want you to see with me. That's what God is talking about. When you see with me, then I can reveal to you my secrets. I can show you some things. I can, you see, because now it's not just magic. It's not just from miracle to miracle. It's not just signs and wonders. It's not just from one miracle to the next miracle. But now we begin to see into this thing as to what God is wanting to accomplish. You see, and you say, now you are, this thing happens for this reason. This thing is happening right now for that reason. Even when things doesn't, you see, Paul began to say, he said, my captivity was for your deliverance. There's something that is happening at this moment that you at this particular juncture would not understand. But if you get that prophetic insight, walking with God, the way the Lord desired to walk with you. Now with that, you want to make sure that you continue to walk with him. You got to keep walking with him. You walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're walking with God, what do? See, you're so intrigued with the intimacy that you're enjoying with him that you begin to dispel of all of those things that would otherwise vie for your attention. Why should I want to mess this up with some distraction that's meaningless, that doesn't have any purpose and intent, just some pleasure that has no significance whatsoever to the journey to which God has placed me upon? No, I got to get there. I want to walk with you, Lord. And I want you to show me what you desire to show me. We begin to see the encouraging words of God to encourage the faithful. He says to those that walk with him, he continued to say, he said, be strong. Be strong and be very courageous. He said, because the enemy will set up pitfalls. These are the things that will take place. He said, but be strong and be very courageous. You see, I begin to look at it. You're not just living in the shadows of the past, but you're reflecting upon the past as historical as historical and a faith-building testimony launching you into your future. Because what happens, he said, just remember where I was back then. What I did then, I can do now. See, David, the lion and the bear, was just precursors to the uncircumcised giant that awaited him in his future. God knew the giant was coming. But God said, I'm going to allow you to face lions and bears. They will attack you. I'll let it happen. The sheep happened to the sheep, because he knew all the while that there would be a giant in David's future. He said, but before you reach that giant, I'm going to let you face some lions and bears. Where is that lion? Where is that bear? You never faced a lion. You never faced a bear, David. He said, but I'm going to let you face one now, because I'm already looking at the giant. You won't be able to face the giant until you deal with lions and bears. So history of perseverance, overcoming obstacles, adversarial opposition, the adversary coming out against you. And you see, the walk is not for the faint-hearted, but it's for the faithful. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, he says, and don't let us go weary while doing good. For in due season, there's a season that we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If you do not cave in under pressure, there is a time, there is a season that you will reap if you do not cave in under pressure. He says, so be strong now so that you'll have the strength that you need for the future. Now, I'm closing. Because we mentioned early on about the vision. He says, Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and not lie. It will not tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. The message puts it this way. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It's pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can't hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. God is never late. He's always on time. What God is wanting to do, get us a place of seeing what we need to see, so that what he is wanting to do, he said, I'm ready to perform my word. I'm going to bring you to a place where you can step out on my word when you see what I see. You can step out on my word when you're postured to see what I see. But you can't step out on the word until you see right. Tell you, sickness, diseases, and infirmities are small things to God. He can get some mileage out of them. But let me tell you something. That's the best the enemy can do, is threaten you with death. That's the best he can do, is threaten you with death. But don't fear the one that can merely kill the body, but fear the one that can cast both spirit and soul into hell. So I believe that what God is going to do, he is giving us a word of victory, a word of healing. On this, as we're preparing to celebrate Independence Day, I believe that God is going to bring this congregation to a place. I'm speaking it now. You heard when you say you speak it. When we speak it, we are now releasing it into the atmosphere. I believe that too. It's being released into the atmosphere. God is giving us a word of release. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray before we receive communion. We're going to pray a word of release, even concerning those within this house. And the thing is that we're not going to beg God, because we trust him. You see, when you're begging, you don't believe. If you're begging, you don't believe. But God can do a work. His spirit is gentle. He can do a work in a millisecond, where it may take a lifetime for man in his strength to attempt to do and still come up short. So what we want to happen right now, I want those that are under attack, just stand wherever you are. Those that's under physical attack, just stand, just stand. Just stand wherever you are. Those that's under physical attack, just stand where you are right now. And we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. We're starting with the physical, but we realize that there's something behind. There's something behind physical attacks. There's spirits that's been assigned. The enemy has assigned spirits to attack. So we're not just going to deal with the sickness, disease, and infirmity. We're dealing with the spirit of infirmity. What do you see? We see into the unseen realm. The insights that God gives, he speaks to us from a place that's not visible. The word that he gives us came down from heaven. If this is a word from heaven, then it's potent enough to cause even those things that rise from beneath to be done away with.